Thanks for listening to this special breaking update episode of Last Seen Alive. I'm your host, Leah, crime analyst by day and true crime storyteller by night.
I'm your co-host, Scott.
A month ago, we told you an especially heartbreaking story about a little girl whose short life was one of profound neglect and abuse, and ultimately ended in homicide. It was, as episodes involving child victims often are, I imagine, hard to listen to for many of you. I know I find the story difficult to dwell on, especially since I have a young daughter of my own. This update is, of course, on the case of Opelika's baby Jane Doe, or at least that was all we knew her by when we wrote the episode on her unsolved homicide. But I'm very happy to say that today, that changed. Thanks to the hard work of investigators and forensic scientists and genealogists, she's been given her name back. So from now on, we'll be calling her by her real name, which is Amore Jovea Wiggins.
I know I was especially sad listening to it and editing it. It's one of those cases that has sat in the back of my mind. So to finally have a name to go along with it is really a tremendous relief.
Yeah, it's one of those cases that really illustrates the depths of human evil. As you may recall, Amore's mostly skeletonized remains were discovered on the grounds of a mobile home park in Opelika, Alabama on January 28, 2012. The discovery was sparked when a woman who lived in one of those mobile homes looked out her window and saw a dog carrying around what turned out to be real human remains. She called 911, of course, and police responded to the scene, where they found the partial, mostly skeletonized remains of a little girl by the brushy bank of a small creek. Later analysis would reveal that at the time of her death, she was somewhere between 4 and 7 years old. Analysis also revealed that the girl's remains had likely been laying in that spot for a long time, for 8 months to a year prior to discovery, to be exact. And they had likely been deliberately placed there, abandoned and exposed to wildlife and the elements by her killer or killers. Since investigators didn't know the young girl's identity, they started calling her Opelika Jane Doe, or Baby Jane Doe. With the aid of the FBI, they studied her remains to find out what they could about her short life, and the more they learned, the more bleak their limited understanding of her life became. Although her remains had been reduced mostly to bones, those bones told a terrible story. They bore evidence of multiple fractures, some of which showed evidence of healing and some of which did not. This meant that she had suffered some bone-breaking injuries immediately before her death and others significantly beforehand, so she had been a physically abused child and the abuse had ultimately proved fatal. Her bones also revealed that she had been malnourished and, as we discussed in our original episode on her case, damage to the orbital socket around her left eye suggested that she had likely been injured and left blind in that eye. Photos believed to be of Amore, taken at a vacation Bible school in Opelika, show a little girl with a damaged and blind left eye.
Really is the most heartbreaking piece of this entire case.
Yeah, and during the press conference, they stated that they haven't been able to definitively determine that those photos were definitely of her, but as far as we know, they're believed to be of her. During the police press conference, which was held on January 19th, 2023, the same day we're recording this episode, we learned that Amore's remains showed evidence of more than 15 separate fractures in various states of healing. Those fractures were to her skull, arms, legs, shoulders, and ribs. In the decades since the discovery of her remains, investigators from the Opelika Police Department have worked tirelessly, and I truly mean that, to give Amore her name back and hold those who caused and/or contributed to her death responsible. They worked long hours, putting years of work into her case. Some of them felt they couldn't possibly retire, although they had reached that stage in their careers where that was an option, until Amore's case was solved. And it wasn't just police, either. The Lee County coroner, Bill Harris, also contributed his efforts to Amore's case, lending his time and expertise in every way he could up until his own recent death in June of 2022.
Yeah, I'm sad he didn't get to see this come to fruition and know her name in life, but I'm sure he's very thrilled right now.
Right.
When you were talking about the countless years of work, mm-hmm. didn't they say they went through like 50,000 files while researching this case?
Yeah, and researched thousands and thousands of tips that took them all over the country. And it wasn't just Opelika police, although they were leading the investigation. They also had the help of the FBI, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, all kinds of other agencies in other cities and towns that they followed up on. There was an enormous amount of work that went into making this happen. This was not a happy coincidence. It was something that took a lot of work and cutting-edge technology.
A Herculean effort, if there ever was.
Yes. So what did all these dedicated, hardworking professionals finally uncover through more than a decade of work? Here's what we know directly from Opelika Chief of Police Shane Healy and other professionals who spoke at the January 19th press conference. Amora Jovea Wiggins was born on January 1st, 2006, to her mother, Sherry Wiggins, who lived in Newport News, Virginia. As you may recall from our original episode on Amora's case, investigators have long believed that Amora might have had a connection to this area, and we wondered whether she might have been the child of a military family because of this possible connection to Newport News, which hosts the world's largest naval base, and also an area of Florida where another naval base is located. And this turned out to be the case. Although Sherry wasn't in the Navy, her baby's father was. His name was Lamar Vickerstaff. The details of his and Sherry's relationship haven't been publicly shared. Whether it was a brief fling or something more, we don't know, but it did result in Sherry's pregnancy with Amora. And just 5 months after Amora was born, Lamar married another woman whose name was Ruth. So it's very possible that when Lamar was involved with Sherry, he was also in a relationship with Ruth, although I can't confirm that for certain. And if that was the case, I have no idea if and when the two women found out about each other. One thing we do know is that Lamar is significantly older than Sherry. Today, they're 50 and 37 years old, respectively, which means that at the time of Amora's conception, Lamar was approximately 32, and Sherry was just a teenager, approximately 19 years old, so barely an adult. This meant that Sherry was a young, single mother to her little girl, Amora. But when Amora was just a toddler, her world was turned upside down when Lamar and Ruth Vickerstaff filed for custody of her in a Virginia court. Unfortunately, the court granted legal and physical custody of Amora to the older couple when she was just 3 years old. Sherry wasn't even granted visitation rights. And it was this ruling, this decision to give custody of Amora to her father and stepmother, that ultimately resulted in her death at age 4 or 5. And just a quick side note here, we don't know what the logic or issues, if any, were behind the court deciding to take custody of Amora from her mother and give it to her father and stepmother. That hasn't been publicly shared, and it's very possible that Sherry's young age might have put her at a disadvantage compared to this much older couple that wanted custody.
They even mentioned during that press release that they weren't sure what led to that.
According to Opelika Chief of Police Shane Healy, investigators were unable to locate any records of Amora ever being enrolled in any sort of school or of her being reported missing. Now, we know that she was only 4 or 5 years old when she died, so never being enrolled in school isn't necessarily surprising. She probably wasn't quite of age to enroll in kindergarten yet, and not all children attend preschool. However, the fact that she was never reported missing is telling, if not surprising.
Yeah, and we even discussed that briefly in our original coverage of this case.
Yeah, we did. Back then, we didn't know she was 4 or 5. We just knew she was between the ages of 4 to 7, so possibly old enough for school. In any case, Amora lived with her father and stepmother in Norfolk, but her remains were ultimately found in her father's original hometown of Opelika, Alabama. He'd grown up there and had graduated from high school there before enlisting in the U.S. Navy. And as for his Navy career, according to Chief Healy, Lamar Vickerstaff was actually still enlisted on the day of the press conference, January 19th, 2023. I imagine that due to the nature of the charges leveled against him, his career will soon be terminated.
I don't foresee it going any further.
Yeah, almost certainly not.
And they even mentioned that in that press conference, he was working on or in the process of trying to figure out retirement from the Navy.
Yep, he was looking to retire.
Even if he didn't have these charges, he was looking at the end of his naval career.
Yeah, but now he is most likely looking at a dishonorable discharge. Perhaps, if the charges leveled against him are true, the most deserved dishonorable discharge of all time.
Personally, throughout that entire press conference, I was just getting more and more enraged at the things that I heard.
It was very upsetting. Even the chief of police and other professionals couldn't contain their emotions at all times during that press conference, and I don't blame them at all. There's no way that I would have been able to stand up in front of a room full of people and say all those things.
I couldn't, so I think this is a good moment to just thank them again for all that they've done for this case, because it can't be overstated the amount of effort and just personal emotion put into this case for one of the most vulnerable of our entire society to be brutalized in such a way by somebody that won custody of her.
Yeah, it's really obvious that pretty much everyone involved with this case has looked at little Amor and thought of their own children, nieces, nephews, granddaughters. Everybody looks at it and is really horrified that somebody could do this to a young, truly helpless child.
It was made really clear that everyone there has this really close bond and tie to Amor, and that they all cared really deeply about her. And it's something that will shape this community for generations to come, I believe.
Yeah. When it comes to police work, there's a whole range of quality. It runs the gamut from abysmal, in some cases law-breaking, to excellent. And this is truly excellent police work where everyone did everything they could. And now we're finally seeing the outcome of that. And that outcome is the fact that Lamar Vickerstaff, Amor's father, who wrested custody of her away from her mother in a court of law, has been charged with Amor's murder. He's charged with felony murder, and his wife, Ruth Vickerstaff, Amor's stepmother, has been charged with failure to report a child missing. And Lamar has been charged with that as well. Both of them were arrested on January 17, 2023, just 2 days before the January 19th press conference in Jacksonville, Florida, where they've been living while stationed at Naval Station Mayport. Deputies from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office pulled Ruth Vickerstaff over in traffic and arrested her by the roadside. Lamar Vickerstaff traveled to the site of the traffic stop and turned himself in to deputies. These arrests may not have come as a surprise to Lamar and Ruth. A few months ago, in October of 2022, investigators spoke to them regarding Amor's death. Here's what happened. In October of 2022, after a decade of investigating, police were finally able to identify Lamar Vickerstaff as Amor's biological father. This was due to the excellent forensic work of Othram Labs, Astria Labs, and the Firebird Forensics Group. The former two labs were responsible for performing difficult DNA extractions from Amor's remains, and the latter organization provided professional investigative genealogy services. When investigators approached Lamar Vickerstaff and informed him that his daughter was deceased and that her remains had been found in Opelika in 2012, he didn't share any information with investigators. He didn't even have the decency to tell them her name. Investigators then spoke to his wife and Amor's stepmother, Ruth. Ruth told investigators that she hadn't known her husband's daughter and had no idea who her biological mother may have been. Which, of course, we know is false because she, along with her husband, was awarded physical and legal custody of the little girl.
There's a lot to that also.
A lie if anyone has ever heard one. So investigators left those meetings with little to no more information than they'd had beforehand. But they were not about to give up. Shortly thereafter, the genealogical professionals we just mentioned were able to finally identify Amor's mother, Sherry Wiggins. When detectives met with Sherry, what they learned was heartbreaking. Sherry hadn't known that Amor was deceased. In fact, she'd been paying child support unfailingly since she'd lost custody in 2009. For more than a decade, Lamar and Ruth had been receiving child support payments for a child who had in fact been dead, murdered the entire time. Sherry had also been attempting for years to regain custody of Amor. Because the court hadn't granted her visitation rights to her daughter, she'd had no way of knowing that Amor was deceased or even missing. She'd gone all those years without being able to see her daughter or even receive a photograph or speak to her on the phone. And when investigators broke the news of Amor's death, she knew that she'd never get the chance to do any of those things. They were impossible because someone had murdered her daughter and had hidden that fact from her and just about everyone else.
Truly. They stole her from somebody that wanted to take care of her and seems like she wanted to be part of her life.
Yeah, and did take care of her to the best of her knowledge in the best way she could by providing those child support payments without failure.
Yeah, and that was something that stood out during the charges levied against them. I'm not sure if they're going to add this later, but that certainly seems fraudulent to me to receive child support.
Sure, a crime in and of itself.
It's just sickening.
I find it disturbingly ironic that Sherry named her daughter Amor after the love that it seems that she truly felt for her and tried to give to her in the best way she could by providing those payments when she was kept separated from her. And the people who won custody of her gave her none of that. And it had never occurred to Sherry that her daughter might have been Opelika Jane Doe because, one, she had no idea her daughter was deceased or missing, and she had no ties to Alabama. It's possible that she didn't even know that Amor's father was from Opelika. Sherry was immensely cooperative with investigators and presumably heartbroken. I want to emphasize that although she was Amor's mother, she was not responsible for her death. She too is a victim in this case. As for where investigators go from here, well, the investigation is not over. There are still unanswered questions. For example, we don't know yet why Amor's remains were in Opelika. It was confirmed during the press conference, however, that her father, Lamar Vickerstaff, had family and friends living in the vicinity immediate to where her remains were discovered. So, had he been visiting family or friends in the area when he allegedly killed her? Had he perhaps left her there for a while in the care of family or friends? Did anyone else play a role in her death or have knowledge of her death and fail to report it? During the press conference, investigators said that it's a possibility that additional parties will be charged in relation to her death. Now, that's a possibility, not a certainty. However, on January 18th, 2023, the day before the press conference, the Opelika Sheriff's Office and the FBI's evidence response team worked together to conduct a search of a mobile home near where Amor's remains were found. They have not publicly shared the results of that search or the exact reason behind it. Police Chief Healy says that they're still searching for evidence, both physical and otherwise, and they still need the public's help. During the press conference, he implored the public and the media to lend their help when it comes to filling in the gaps in knowledge regarding Amor's short time with her father and stepmother. To that end, please share Amor's story, articles about her, the recent press conference, this podcast episode, whatever you think is best, with anyone you may know who lived in the Norfolk, Virginia, or Opelika, Alabama areas at any point during or between the years of 2009 to 2011. So investigators need your help to flesh out the untold parts of Amor's story and ensure that the trial goes as well as it possibly can. You can reach the Opelika Police Department Detective Division at 334-705-5220. Or if you wish to remain anonymous, you can call the Secret Witness Hotline at 334-745-8665.
That's all for this breaking update episode of Lasting Alive. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check our website, lastingalivepodcast.com, for photos from the story and the original press conference, which we obtained these updates from. While you're at it, follow us on Insta and Twitter at LSA Podcast. Regular episodes of Lasting Alive go live every other Monday. See you then. Meanwhile, please share more story with others, especially anyone you may know who lived in Norfolk, Virginia, or Opelika, Alabama areas at any point during or between the years of 2009 to 2011. Also, if you think bringing unsolved cases like Amor's to the public's attention is important, please take a moment to rate or review Lasting Alive and tell your friends to check us out too. We'd really appreciate it.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.